So on page 298, we have a siman that we'll skip right now. That's what we decided?
Yeah.
Tafresh Pehei, that's Seder Arba Parshios. And therefore, we can fast forward to page 300, Hilchos Megillah. So we have Tafresh Pei Vav, and that's the laws of Tainus Esther. And then we have Tafresh Pei Zion, that's when we get to really the kishkis of Purim. So he writes the following: Tafresh Pei Vav Sif Aleph B'Chanaka UPurim Mutal Isanos Lifneihem V'Achreihem. So this has to do with what's called Megillas Tainus, and normally there's halacha based on Megillas Tainus that those holidays and celebrations that the dates of which are recorded in Megillas Tainus, they require what's called an Iser Tainus Lifneihem V'Achreihem. But Chanukah and Purim were established as separate independent holidays, which means that even if Batlo Megillas Tainus, nevertheless these days are designated for Chanukah or Purim, and therefore the days before them, the days after them, are not included in the Iser Tainus. We'll take a look immediately at the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Aleph, and he points out that whatever is true about Tainus is also true about Hesped. In other words, Hesped and Tainus go together as one entity, and if we're being lenient as far as Hesped, as far as Tainus is concerned, Lefneim Lachreim, that same leniency applies to Hesped. Now, is it really true that Batla Megillas Tainus? That's a machlokus in the Gemara, and the Gemara never comes to any definite conclusion. If we assume, according to one man, the Omer Lo Batla Megillas Tainus, then Chanukah, which is included amongst the days of Megillas Tainus, would generate an Iser Tainus Lifneim and Lachreim. And that's what the Bach writes, that as far as Chanukah is concerned, we have to consider the possibility, at least, that there's an Iser Tainus Lifneim.
Why not Lachreim?
I assume he means Lachreim as well. I'm not sure, but he doesn't mention it. Now, as far as Purim is concerned, on the other hand, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, that Purim is generated by Torah Shebichsav, because Megillas Esther and Kimu V'Kivu Aleihem V'Alzarom, etc., to mark these days as days of Simcha and Mishta, that's explicit in Megillas Esther. So we can completely circumvent the halacha Megillas Tainus, and the Iser Tainus, or the Chiyuv Mishta V'Simcha, I mean the Iser Tainus as generated by the Chiyuv and Mitzvah of Simcha Mishta, that's only on those days, not Lifnei V'Lachrei. And he writes that the Bach is of the opinion, together with the Pri Chadosh, that we should be noeg on Chanukah Nisa Tainus Lefano. And I was thinking to myself that maybe the dropping of Tachnun on the 24th of Nisan is a strange kind of halacha. I meant to say Kislev. Is a strange kind of halacha, because what mitzvah do we have on the 24th of Kislev?
Nothing.
And not only that, there's no Kiddush Sayom, there's no Yisra Malacha garnished. Why should we do away with Tachnun on the 24th of Kislev? But maybe based on this Bach, if there's an Yisra Tainus on the 24th, based on the Din of Lifneihem, again, I don't know how that would impact on tomorrow, because tomorrow is Achreihem. Hine yesh nogim l'sanos lifnei Chanukah, tmuris erev Rosh Chodesh. There are those who fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Some people call it Yom Kippur Katan. And if you're not going to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Teves because it's Chanukah, you have to make it up. And the best time to make it up, the closest time to make it up to Chanukah would be Erev Chanukah. So he says, if you have that minute, you have it. But El Chatchila Lo Yino came, because you have to worry about the Bach and the Pri Chodesh. They hold that the din of Lifneihem applies to Chanukah. And therefore, to fast on Erev Chanukah is a problem. And as we said, perhaps on the contrary, Erev Chanukah has a shtickle simcha, a little bit of simcha too, and therefore we omit tachnun. By the way, I was thinking that if, you know, before I saw the Bach, I was thinking that maybe the reason we drop tachnun on the 24th of Kislev is because of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But that would only make sense to be Plaga Mincha V'Yelech, because the earliest time you could light Chanukah candles is Plaga Mincha, an hour and a quarter before Shkia. So let's say we davened here, now in our institution, we davened Mincha at Mincha Gedola, midday. There's no possibility of a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah at that point. And on top of it, we paskin Adlokos of mitzvah, so you can't set up a Ner Chanukah earlier. You'd have to put it out and rekindle it. So there's nothing invested in the day itself that would knock off tachnun. Then he writes, V'chem yom rishon deli achar Chanukah, the first day after Chanukah, after yochid mutol is anaspo, tainis tzibur osu ligzor bo. Now it's interesting, he says yochid mutol is anaspo, meaning, I think he's saying against the Bach.
Right.
You know, he's reflecting now what it says in the Mechaber. If you take a look, for example, in Shaar Tzion, number Dalid, he quotes the Machzah Shekel, the Knesset Gedola, the Magen Avraham, etc., etc. And then he writes, the lo kapri megadim, da Knesset Gedola polig ala Bach, v'daita Chanukah osu l'sanos gam li'achrov. So it's very interesting. We have now three shittos. We have one shita that says that with regard to Chanukah, there's no din neither of Lefanov nor Li'achrov, at least as far as the Yochid is concerned. So there's no Tainis, Tzibur on the day Li'achrov, but a Yochid is allowed to be Misana. The other possibility is to go with the Knesset HaGedola, at least the way the Prima Gadim understood the Knesset HaGedola, and that would mean that you have a din of both Lefanov and Li'achrov with an Isur Tainis and Hesped as far as Chanukah is concerned. And then in the middle we have this Bach that's making a distinction between Lefanov and Li'achrov. So in addition to the difficulty in understanding the Bach, because Lefanov and Li'achrov L'chor is a package deal, we have to deal with this Mishnah Brura who says that Tainis Tzibur also Ligzar Bo, which means that we also, even though we reject the Bach, we still agree that there is some sort of Isru Chag, if you could call it, meaning a spillover of the Simcha of Chanukah onto the day after Chanukah. Now all this really has to do with something that I want to talk about at 11:45 today, Ritz Hashem, about whether or not Chanukah has a din of a Yontif. That's going to have an impact on Hallel. It might have an impact also on the day after Chanukah, because if Chanukah is a Yontif, then there might be a spillover to the day after Yontif. In any event, all this is relevant to Lefnei Melech Reim, has nothing to do with Tainis Esther per se. Now again, even if we tell you that, you know, Lefneihem on Purim is a separate category, not Midin Lefneihem, but Midin Tainis Esther, then L'chora, that would have no impact on L'achreihem. And it could very well be that even the Bach, and even those who went a step further than the Bach, and they applied the principle of Chanukah of Lefneim L'achreihem, they would agree that there's no principle of Lefneim L'achreihem in Purim, as far as Isur Tainis and Hesped is concerned. There happens to be a separate independent Tainis on Yud Gimel B'Adar, on the day before Purim. Not Midin Lefneihem. And again, if we would insist, the way I think the Prima Gadim would insist, that Lefneihem and Elachreihem would be a package deal, but rather Midin Yud Gimel B'Adar. And it's very fascinating, when the Mechaber says, Mis'anim B'Yud Gimel B'Adar, it means that We're really, in a sense, encountering something that's classical in Moadim, in almost all Moadim. Maybe we could make a case all Moadim, that on the day before the Moed we have a fast day. Now, where do we find such thing on the day before a fast of a Moed we have a fast day? So there are those who have a minhag of fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur is out because of the mitzvah d'oraisa of achila. Mm-hmm. Erev Sukkis, I don't know, we have to think about Erev Sukkis. Let's talk about Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, we have what's called Tainis Bechoros. And it could be that the Tainis of Yud Gimel Ba'adar is really a Tainis of before a Moed. Now the question would be, what about Sukkis and Shavuos? Are there any fast days on Sukkis and Shavuos, meaning in terms of Erev Sukkis and Erev Shavuos? That I don't know. We'll see if we can work that out. Now if you take a look at Mishnah Berurah number Beis, he says, Ki b'mei Mordechai v'Esther nikalu b'yom Yud Gimel. So in other words, they were ready to go out to battle, and they prepare themselves on the 13th of Adar. And whenever you go out to battle, there's halach of tainus. How do we know that before you go out to battle, there's halach of tainus? So Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the day that he went to battle with Amalek, was fasting. And so too, we can assume that during the period of time of Mordechai and Esther, when the Jews gathered together, Yom HaKehila, Yom HaKel, and they went out to battle, then they fasted. L'chein nogu kol Yisrael l'sanos b'yigimol b'yador. And this is all based on the Rambam. So the Rambam identifies Tainis Esther as the fast in which Klal Yisrael prepared themselves to go out to battle. And since on the 13th it was Yom HaKehila, and that was the day that they were Nikalu B'Yom Yud Gimel Badoli Lachim V'Lamin Al Nafshim, therefore they fasted like Moshe Rabbeinu fasted when he went out to fight the battle against Amalek. That's the Rambam Shita. However, the Rosh has a different Shita. His Shita is at Tainis Esther is connected those 3 days when Esther, after she found out from Mordechai about the Gzeir of Haman, she said, Lech Knos Eskol Yehudim V'tzuma Alai. And that pasuk testifies to the effect that the Jewish people would get together and fast. The only thing is, and that's the oddity of it, maybe that's why the Rambam doesn't buy into this, is those days were not in Adar. In words, I can definitely say that Yom Shenikalu al Yom Kehila was on the 13th of Adar, but to say that the 3 fast days, they were probably in Chodesh Nisan, but not in Chodesh Adar. But on the other hand, the name of the Tainus seems to be a dead giveaway. We call it Tainus Esther. In fact, the title of this Siman in the Shulchan Aruch is Tainus Esther. Now, Tainus Esther is the Tainus that Esther declared when she said Tzuma alive, you know, gam narosa yatzuma, you know, that was Tainus Esther. The Tainus of Milchama Lechora should not be called Tainus Esther. So the Rambam Shita now faces that difficulty, and the Mishnah Berurah tries to answer this. He says, "V'nikra Tainus Esther kidei lizkar shashem yisroch roeh b'shomer kol ish beis tzoroso kasha yisane." That Hashem is compassionate, He accepts and hearkens to the prayers of anyone who's in dire straits when he fasts and he afflicts himself. And that's what the people did when they went out to battle. So really the word Esther here doesn't mean a fast that was initiated by Esther. Certainly the fast was not initiated by Esther, but rather it was the fast at the time of Esther. And Tainus Esther simply puts the fast into, in its original form, into a historical context. But it's not the fast of Esther, it should be the fast during the period of Esther. That's where the Rosh has a certain advantage, because he's identifying this as the fast of Esther. Says the Mechaber, V'imchal Purim b'echad b'Shabbos, we cannot fast on Shabbos. If Purim Yudalid be Adar is on Sunday, it's Makdimim Lis Anos B'Yom HaChamishi. Now this is very interesting, because as a general rule, when we cannot fast on a certain day, we actually postpone the fast. Like for example, if Tisha B'Av overlaps with Shabbos, we fast on Sunday. And in this sense, the fast of Esther is very unique. It's not what we call Tainis de Puranusa. This is not a sad, solemn day. I mean, it is a solemn day, but it's not a sad day. We know that we won the battle. And therefore, there's no problem to be mocked in the fast. When it comes to a Tainis of Parnusa, like the destruction of the Mikdash, there, if we cannot fast on the 9th of Av, we will postpone it. And if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Gimel, he asks the following question: why is it that if we're making this Tainis earlier, we fast on a Thursday, why not fast on a Friday? And we have a fast on a Friday. Actually, this year we're going to fast on a Friday? I don't know. Let's just work it out. Today is what, the 3rd of Teves? If let's say today is the 3rd of Teves...
Today is the 2nd of Teves.
Today is the 2nd of Teves. So if you add 8 days...
No,
it's not going to come out on Friday. But Hayu Dvar Ma'olam, you know, it's not rare that Sarba Teves on a Friday. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Aval Ervatayis Ein Kovin Tayis B'Tchilu B'nei Kvod HaShabbos." That's to go into Shabbos when you're absolutely famished and you're falling apart, and you gluttonously want to eat as soon as you possibly can. That's not L'Kvod HaShabbos. Not only that, the Mishnah Berurah adds another dimension into the equation, that a Tainis generates a special Chiv Tfila Bakasha, which is called Slichos V'Tachanunim. And if you're going to dedicate yourself on Erev Shabbos not only to fasting but also to the long prayers that are appropriate for a fast of Slichos Tachnunim, you will not have enough time, especially during the winter months when Shabbos comes in very early, to be properly dedicate your time to prepare for Shabbos. That's what he has here. Now the Rambam, before we finish this Mishnah Berurah, is going to address a different issue. Now that we've already separated Tainis from the other bunch, and we've said that although the other group that constitutes all Tanesim except the Tainis Esther are all Tainios Shel Puranios, and therefore that's a very severe Tainis, in the case of Purim, the Tainis itself is part of the celebration of Purim. It lacks that heavy, solemn element that makes it into a Tainis Chumra, a big Chumra. And that's what the Rambam is going to derive various halachic repercussions. But before that, let's go back to the Mishnah Berurah. And he says, Mishaya Baderach v'shachach shemis'anin v'yom ha-chamishi. So we're now moving over to the left column, v'achal. So he got confused and he ate on that Thursday before Purim, which was Tainis Esther. He comes home at night and he finds out about the Tainis. Would we allow him in such a case to fast on Erev Shabbos? We just finished saying that Erev Shabbos is not a good time to fast because of it's Pogea, it undermines Kavod Shabbos. Also, to go into Shabbos when you're fasting, that's a problem. However, here we're only talking about a certain individual, and he made a mistake and he didn't fast on that Thursday. In such a case, and here he quotes the general Achronim, the general Askov of the Achronim, that he should fast on Friday. In other words, it comes out that according to this approach of the Achronim, both Thursday and Friday are inherently, they precipitate a chiyuv tainis. Befall, because of kibud ayom, kibud Shabbos, we're going to suspend the actual implementation of the fasting on that Friday. But Friday itself is a fast day, and if for the benefit of an individual who mistakenly did not fast on Thursday, we can allow him to fast on Friday, and that's because Friday itself is a fast day. Again, for everyone else, the entire tzibur, we're not going to allow them to fast because we have to protect
Kavod Shabbos.
Maril lo haya magid halacha b'tainis Esther. The Maril would cancel his shir, his daily shir, on Tainis Esther. And this is very nogea in the old city. I don't know if you know about these institutions that for the young boys, they don't give them any vacation. They learn with them almost 365 days out of the year. If I'm not mistaken, they give them vacation on Erev Pesach and on Erev Yom Kippur. Those are the 2 days of the year they get off. It's called Zilberman. I don't know if you ever heard of it. But what about Tainis Esther? So the Maril wanted to allow, this is the last day before Purim, to buy whatever you need for Purim. Now where do we find a precedent for this Maril, that with regard to Purim, we have to give plenty of ample time to prepare for Purim? So we actually find this in the Sugya. And the Gemara says that the Bnei Akfarim, which we'll learn about a little bit later in the next Siman, who live in villages, we want to give them time on Purim itself to help out the Bnei Ha'arim, the city slickers, and dedicate their time to bring in food. You know, that means hot wood, what do they have to do to prepare the food and bring it into the big cities, to alleviate the heavy responsibility, the cumbersome responsibility of preparing Tzarchei Purim on Purim. So already before Purim, we would allow the Bnei Akfarim to come in. We'll read the Megillah on their behalf, even though it's not yet Purim. And that's in order to facilitate their ability to stack up, you know, to allow the city slickers, as we said before, the Ariya Prozen, to prepare for Purim before Purim, on the day before Purim. So we see that the day before Purim is clearly a day that's dedicated to prepare for the Suda of Purim, both in terms of preparing the food, buying the food, and organizing the house, and so forth and so on. So the Maril wants to say, you know what, I'm going to suspend my regular shir on Tainis Esther, because that's the day before Purim. This will give the people more time to prepare for Purim. However, what happens when Purim falls out on a Sunday? And here it would seem, logically, that there's plenty of time to prepare for Purim on that Friday before Purim. And now we're going to fast on Thursday. That's already 3 days before Purim. In such a case, it would seem that there's ample time to prepare for the Sudas Purim before Purim. And there's no need to cancel your shir on Thursday, that's so far removed, so to speak, and so much earlier than Purim. He says, because of Elio Rab Venira Li Decholzem Mayri Lelech Li Yeshiva. He says the following: if we're gathering together the troops, the students, the disciples in the yeshiva for a shir, then we want to postpone that shir, suspend that shir, in favor of Tirda B'Knias Tzarchei Purim. But Lilmol Limud HaKavua B'Beis HaMedrash, if you go to the Beis HaMedrash to learn for a certain period of time, you dedicate an hour, that's on a private level, it's not the public education. He'll work it out in such a way that whatever he has to do, he has enough time during the day to dedicate ample time to Tzarchei Su'udah for Purim, and therefore we don't mind and we have no hesitation or inhibition about sending him to the Beis Medrash, as he does always at his Zman Kavur. Now we're back to the case where Purim falls out on a Sunday. We've already established that the fast cannot be possibly implemented on Shabbos. We don't fast on Shabbos. It has to be earlier. How much earlier? We'll go all the way back to Thursday because of the Kvod Shabbos issue. We've already said that on Tainis Esther, in the normal case, we have plenty of time We want to give plenty of time to prepare for Sudas Purim. We're going to suspend the shir in the yeshiva. What about that Shabbos? Does that Shabbos has the status of Purim? It actually is the 14th of Adar. He says, and here he quotes again the Rokeach, that ain orim tzidkascha ba'osa Shabbos shechal Purim l'mocha. That this Shabbos of Yudalid b'Adar has the status of Purim. Even though, again, we don't have Purim on Shabbos, but nevertheless, it is Purim. And this touches on that whole...
Shabbos is Yudal or Shabbos is Yud Gimel?
Shabbos is Yud Gimel, okay. Right? And Purim is tomorrow. And the question is, do we assume that Erev Purim is also part of Purim? Right, we said we want to dedicate that time to Tzorchei Seuda. We also have a Tainus, a special Tainus Esther. So there are various dimensions of Purim that start already the day before Purim. In fact, on that day, amongst other days, the Bnei HaKfarim could read the Megillah. So if that be the case, would it be that Shabbos, which is the 13th of Adar, should have any status of Purim? And the nafkamina is whether we should drop Tzidkascha Tzedek. Because on Erev Purim, in general, because it's an extension of Purim, we don't recite Tachnun. There's no Tzidek Adin. So what should we do in a case where Erev Purim is on Shabbos? Obviously, we're not going to read the Megillah. Purim is tomorrow. But does Shabbos of Erev Purim have the status of a regular classical Erev Purim of Chol? And therefore, there's no tachnun. Again, we never say tachnun on Shabbos, but we do have tzidkascha tzedek, or tzidik adin. What should we do with that? So he quotes here the Achronim that we should completely omit tzidkascha tzedek because it's Erev Purim. So again, I can't overemphasize this bluntness, this point here, that Erev Purim has the status of Purim. It's not just Tainus Esther.
Right.
Now, I would assume... Tell me if you think I'm right, that this halacha of dropping Tzidkascha Tzedek would apply. So we said it applies if Purim is on the 13th. Now let's say, I'm saying Shabbos is the 13th. What if Shabbos is the 14th? Right? And we're going to postpone Kriyas HaMegillah until the 15th. And read it at the same time as the Krachim, the president will read it at the same time as the Krachim. What's the status of that Shabbos vis-a-vis Tzidkascha Tzedek?
Well, certainly not.
Certainly. That would be with a Kal V'chom. Okay, now let's get back to the Rambam. What are the kulas, the leniencies that might apply to Tainus Esther in so far it's not a Tainus of Peronios? Zot the Rambam, Tainus Ze Eino Chova. When there's some sort of need, we're going to be lenient with regard to Tainus Esther. Kigon, Me'ubaros, we're talking about pregnant women. So as a general rule, pregnant women will fast on all the fast days, with the exception of Tainus Esther. Omenikos, a woman who is nursing. Olecholesh Einbo Sakona. And normally, again, we would assume that a Chol Shein Bo Sakana would have to fast on all the other fast days, but not on Tainus Esther. V'afilu rako ve'einayim, he has an eye headache, he will not fast. She'im mitztarim harbe lo yis'anu. Again, he says there are different levels of a pregnant woman, a nursing woman, a chole, somebody has an eye headache. If he's mitzar harbe, if as a result of fasting he's going to be in a state of tsar, and again this is a very subjective kind of evaluation, then he doesn't fast. So if the Rav is asked the question in Bezel Lashon, should I fast? It's Tainus Tzibur, should I fast? He's got to be choker v'doresh. He has to really ask him how bad would it be for you to fast? If it's going to really upset you, then don't fast. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Mitztarim zekoy al korve einayim. The Mishnah Berurah insists, not the way I said it, that this Ramah, the comment of the Ramah of Mitztarim harve, is a comment that goes on everything that he said before. Rather, we should put a hefsek between. On the one hand of the hefsek is muberes meinikos and chol shein bo sakon. On the other half is korvei einayim, and korvei einayim is less than a chole sheyesh bo sakon, shein bo sakon, and therefore we have to ask whether or not he has tsar avol muberes af kisheino mitzta'eres eino misana. But in the case of muberes, it's a chol shein gavra. And she is excluded from the Chiyuv Tainus. That's called the Muberes. Now, would the same logic apply to a Meinekes, or for that matter, to a Chola She'ein Bo Sakona? So he says the following. Beliorau Machmir Rezeh Ach Bioletis Kol Shloshim Gam Hu Mekil. And he wants to make a distinction here between a mu'uberes and a yoledes. That in the case of mu'uberes, she doesn't fast on Tainus Esther. In the case of a yoledes, says the Elio Rabba, it depends. If she's within the first month after her leda, then we have to be mekil. And we don't care whether or not she is mitzta'eres. That means the chal shem gavra that we saw in the case of muberes applies to yoledes as well for the first 30 days.
What's the machmirah? Elio Rabba machmir on the muberes?
Yeah, the Elio Rabba wants to assume that the qualification that the Ramon makes here of mitzta'er,
that is
on everything. Right? That's the way we learned it. But then, even the Elio Rabba has one kula, and that's the case of Yoledes. That's what he says, Gam Hu Mekil. Yeah, I'll tell you why, because Yoledes might have a din of Pikuach Nefesh.
Yeah.
Of a Cholash Yesh Bo Sakana. Now, I'm not sure that every Yoledes has the din of a Cholash Yesh Bo Sakana. I'm not gonna say that. But she's close enough to a Cholash Yesh Bo Sakana that she's completely outside the pale of the obligation of Tainus Esther. Now, what we have to do, if we had more time, and you have to learn to set the Tainus for this in Hilchos Tainus, is to figure out what's the status of Yoledes during the first 30 days as far as Tainus in general is concerned. Now, there's a lot to say here about this case of a Chol Shein Bo Sakana. Because a chol shein bo sakana, generally speaking, means that he doesn't have to get into bed. He's not bedridden. If he's bedridden, then maybe he doesn't have to fast on Tainus Esther. What does he mean, chol shein bo sakana? And he says that it all depends on tsar, at least according to the shita of the Yeshuas Yaakov.
The Elio Rabba,
okay. So this is a very interesting question here. How you classify a chol she'ein bo sakana? You know, on Shabbos, for example, we have a lot of kulas as far as refuah, which is normally prohibited, and pills and medications on behalf of chol she'ein bo sakana. If he has to get into bed, let's say he has fever, and I would have assumed that a chol she'ein bo sakana is also a chal shem and gavra. You know, it's also a status of a person, and he's excluded from the chiyuv of Tainus Esther. If on the other hand you go with the Elio Rabba, he seems to assume again we have to apply the principle of mitztayer or ena mitztayer. In other words, in order to convert the chol she'ein bo sakana, or for that matter the muberes, menikas, or the korvei ayin, into a category of ptur fasting on Tainus Esther, what we need is to upgrade them to that ptur. We need tsar. So it means that basically, according to the Elio Rabba, at least, they are obligated in fasting. But the tsar is going to override that in these particular cases. It would seem to me that the Eliyahu Rav is going to agree in the case he'll let us during the Shloshim Yom that tsar is not an issue anymore because she has an absolute patur. She's not included in the chiyuv of Tayyus Esther. But here I get confused. Why? Because the Ramah continues and he says, the Yifru Acharkach. Now, the Yifru Acharkach, L'chora, what are we talking about? Are we talking about someone who's chayev in the Tainus or someone who is not chayev at all?
Because.
Right, but he does say Yifru Acharkach, which sounds like it really is a Chiyuv Tainus, and they have to pay up that Chiyuv, if not on that day, because that particular Yud Gimel Adar, they don't have the ability to fast. But they'll have to find another day to fast as a replacement for the Tainus. It sounds like they're also included in the Tainus, and therefore they have a Chiyuv Piron.
The question is, what does it refer to, Yifru Acharkach?
Oh. So I'll tell you what I would have said, but I'm afraid to say because the Mishnah Berurah is going to take it a different way. I would have said the following, that if you're included except that tsar knocks it off, then I understand why there's a piron. But if you're not included at all, for example, if you assume that the condition of tsar doesn't apply to any of these categories, or even if you assume it applies to some but it doesn't apply to others, it might not apply to your letters during Shloshim Yom. In that case, I would see no point in Piron. Why are you chayv in Piron? You were never chayv in the fast to begin with. The problem is that the Mishnah Berurah seems to go a different direction here. He quotes the Yeshua Yaakov in Sifkat and Dalet, as we just saw. And according to the Yeshua Yaakov, in the case of Mu'uberes, we require tsar, correct?
No.
And let's go over it again.
That was the Eliyahu Rav. The Yeshua Yaakov said that the tsar is only for the Koyve Nayan.
Mu'uberes, afshe eno mitzta'eres, eno mitz'ana, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, La'ashilei Yeshua Sayakov and now mistabro the lokoi din ze al koevei ayin.
Rak al koevei.
You have rak al koevei ayin.
I have rak al koevei
ayin. Ooh, that's important. See, I don't have.
Yeah. It's the opposite.
Whoa, that's cool. Does he point out that I don't have it, or he's not even aware of the fact
he's
that I don't have
aware
it?
Aware of it.
Wow. Okay. This is you saved me. You mamash saved me. Because I don't have the word rock here. And that's why I was so nervous to tell you what I wanted to say, which I thought was so logical. But if you add the word rock, then it comes out like this, that according to Yeshua Yaakov, as a general rule, let's leave out Koveyayin, tsar is not a precondition.
Right.
And all these categories, whether they are mitzvah or not mitzvah, are excluded from Tainus Esther. Now, oddly enough, the Ramos says v'yifru acharkach. So what's Yeshua Yaakov going to say about this if he holds that there is no condition of tsar? Again, with the exception of koveyayim, which we'll come back to in just a second, but for all the other categories, you're just simply knocked out of the box. You're not included in the chiyuv tainus, and therefore piron makes no sense. So that's what Yeshua Yaakov quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah says. That mistabed lo koy din ze rak al koyvei ayin. That if tsar is going to trump the implementation of the chiyuv of tainus, in the case of tainus Esther, so we're talking about koyvei ayin who are really suffering. They're really chayev in tainus Esther, no less than anyone else.
Right.
But for the sake of tsar, we're gonna alleviate their implementation, if you will, but not the chiyuv. And that's what he says. Be'etzem yesh alav chiyuv, and he writes shalo lifrosh min atzibur. Again, I don't know why he needs that. I think we can even omit that extra addition here just to get the concept. And he says rak sha'achshav mishum dekoyv le'enov, is therefore we're going to say that he doesn't have to implement his chiyuv, but he's definitely a gavra bar chiyuva. Is lahachi lebasa she is sulak keevo yifrat times mashenke muberes minikos. Again, I don't know why he stops here. He could have also added a choleshem bo sakana. Is the pturos bi'etzem? Again, we saw the word bi'etzem earlier. That koavei einayim are really chayav bi'etzem, but the others muberes umenikos, and possibly even a choleshem bo sakana is bi'etzem is pturos, and you don't even need tzar, and therefore there's no point and no justification to demand reimbursement. Right. You don't have to reimburse a chov if you're not chayiv in that chov, right? Mm-hmm. Piron chov, by definition, means I'm chayiv in the chov. Now, it would seem that this would have enough gemin as far as who gets to be called up, who's a candidate to be called up for an aliyah on a tainus, because generally speaking we say that someone who's not fasting should not be called as an aliyah. So I would say it might depend. If he's not chayav in the fast, for example, if let's say a chol hashem bo sakona has the same status as a muberes and a menikas according to this Yeshuas Yaakov. And by the way, you get the impression that the Mishnah Berura is advocating in favor of the Yeshuas Yaakov.
Right.
Which means that that he's not willing to say that tsar goes on the whole kit and caboodle. So that's a gevaldige kula. But it's a chumra in the sense that then I would not call up a chola for an aliyah on Tainus Esther. You follow my point?
Because he's putter from fasting.
Right. Mashenki, if you had a person who's a koyev enayim, and we're going to tell him, well, you're in a state of tsar, so therefore don't fast, but he's still chayv in the fast, it could be that we can call him up for an aliyah. Then I could hear two stogim. Is there any comment on this in the Dirshu?
There's a lot.
Wow.
Well, he talks about the Bach.
Ah, he's only interested in the Bach.
He's only interested in the Bach.
Ah, shucks. I was hoping that he would.
I got to look in the back.
Because I was hoping he would comment on Chol Hashem Bo Sakana according to the Yeshuas Yaakov. You know, that would have been exciting for me. Because for some reason, unbeknown to me, excuse me, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't relate to Chol Hashem Bo Sakana. I'll read it again, unless I missed it.
He just says, B'dinim e'nekes b'tan Israel el should be Arnu, or Chava is called Prote Hadinim.
Oh, I see. So he doesn't want to
really comment.
He doesn't really pick it up here. Okay. Then, excuse me, the Ramah says, Shar Briyim, all the other healthy people, even though, again, there's not a real chov here on Tainus Esther, but nevertheless, lo yifishu minat tzibur.
That's why the Mishnah Berurah said it.
Yeah, he probably borrowed it from this Ramah. And he adds afilu cholek b'derech v'kashal amatayinus. So again, if you're not in one of these categories that we mentioned earlier, you know, your difficulty is not enough to exempt you from tayinus esther, because we don't want to be a parish minat tzibur. V'imchal pur b'yom rishon shemesana b'yom chamishi lefonav v'chal bo bris mila mutol lechol al hamila. And you get the impression from the Ramah that anyone could eat at this bris mila.
Yeah.
Even though it's on the time. Now, I've never seen this happen, actually. Then he says, Ulamachim yom ha-shishi is anu ha-ochlin. Right? This is what we said before, that on Friday, in this case, we will allow you to fast. And he's basically saying that, once again, you're chayav in this tainus. And you have to make it up if you don't fast. So it's like, just like we saw tsar in the case of koivei enayim is going to prevent you from fasting before, even though you're chayiv in the time. So too, the mitzvah of mila, in this case sudas mitzvah, is going to push off the implementation of your chiyuv tainus, but you're actually chayiv in tainus. And if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah of Zion, he says, hayu kol hanoshim akruim lasuda. You know, many times we don't want to get invited to a bris mila because we have other things that we want to take care of if we don't feel part of the mishpacha. here's one case where you actually might ask for an invitation.
But you have to fast on Friday.
Yeah, maybe Friday is a little easier. I don't know.
I've never seen this.
I never seen it. I'm hoping the Dershu will point out, or maybe the Mishnah Berurah will point out, that this is not what we're used to seeing. Oh, now he says maybe we will only allow up to, but not beyond, 10 people to make up a quorum for the Sudas Mitzvah of Mila, because Mila requires a Sara. He says, no, Afilu Yosef Masara. As long as you're invited to the bris, then you're allowed to eat. Fine. Then he says the following. Vafilu b'shachris mutarim lechol. Like, let's say the Sudas Bris Mila will take place a little bit later in the day.
Once they know they're going to eat.
So they're not included in the Chiyuv Tainus. That's Oh, that's how he's interpreting the word chakras?
No. He's just commenting.
He's adding something to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is talking about before the Bris Mila, and the Dirshu is adding even after the Bris Mila. Basically, he's not chayv in Tainus. It could be he's coming lafuki, what's called Tainus Shos, you know, sometimes, but on a Tainus Tzibur, it's an all or nothing endeavor. Now, on the left column here, I should say towards the left on page Kuf Nun Aleph, he says, Ayin Tazel Yorab Shecholkim Al Gazu V'daitom D'Kviusa D'Tainisa Hu Dafka L'Yom Chamishi V'Alkein Asurim Kulam Lechol B'Yom Chamishi V'Yasu Asudim Alayim. This is, I think, what we're familiar with. It means the following. That we're not going to see let's go back to the first Shita. The first Shita, who identifies, I think, as the Magen Avraham Shita, that Shita would maintain that that Thursday and Friday are one entity as far as Tainus is concerned. And that's what we saw before, that you can fast on Friday if you're not able to fast on Thursday. Okay? That was what we saw before. Now, if that be the case, when we talk about a bris mila, it's not catastrophic if we tell a group of people, you've been invited to this Sudas Mila, you'll fast on Friday. Comes along the Taz and the Elul Rabba, and they disagree. They say, no, there's a real day of Tainus, and that's on Thursday. That's the day of Kviusa the Tainus. It's not like the day of Friday is going to be a cube of that Tainus. It's an extension, and it's a piron, but it's not the real McCoy. It's not the real cube of Tainus Esther. Okay, now Surim Kulam, and therefore we have to postpone the Suda till the night. Now exactly how all this kicks in the case of a Bris Mila on Tisha B'Av, for that you have the Sharet Tziyun, in number Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel, actually, number Yud Gimel. All right, let's go on in the Mechaber. We'll finish up Tafresh Pei Vav, and he says, Yesh Misanim Shloshes Yomim Zeich L'Tainus Esther. So now, what's happening is we are going back to the Sheet of the Rush, which is quoted also by his son, the Tur, that Tainus Esther really are the 3 days that she fasted, that she initiated the fast back in Chodesh Nisan. And although we're not going to implement a fast during Nisan, that's not a good time, we're going to postpone it to Adar, but nevertheless it should be a 3-day fast. If we're commemorating and duplicating the fast of Esther, Tuma alive, you know, Shlosh Yomim, that's going to be a 3-day fast, a 3-day enterprise. It can't be less than 3 days. However, you might ask, well, if it's 3 days, maybe we should fast during Nisan, because that's when she fasted. When I say she, I mean together with Klal Yisrael. But we don't fast during Nisan. So it's interesting, because this Deah, which he's quoting here, the Mechaber in Sif Gimel, which is quoted by the Torah, the name of Masechta Sofrim, is the Shita that, against the Rambam, that Tainus Esther is essentially the Tainus that took place 3 days during Nisan, after Haman was Hipil Pur and he was goes to the Gzera, which is 11 months before Purim. So although we cannot fast on the days that she fasted because of the din of Nisan, we're going to shift those days over to Adar right before Purim, but it's got to be 3 days. Now, I don't think that we are choshish for this. I never heard of anyone who fasts 3 days in Adar. There was a minhag to fast 3 days in Tevis. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, Ches, Tes, and Yud. Because I think Ezra Sofer died on the 8th of Tevis. I have to double check this. And on the 9th of Tevis, Talmai Amel forced the Chacham Yisrael to translate the Torah to Greek. And there were 3 fast days. Today we combine and collapse them all into 1 day on the Asar B'Tevis, although you'll see in the Slichos for Asar B'Tevis that we mentioned the other calamities.
Yeah.
But there was a minute back in the day to fast 3 days consecutively. That's in the month of Tevis.
But look at the Mishnah Berurah on this.
Yeah.
What, very bizarre.
Which one? Is number Ches?
Number Ches.
Okay. I just give me 1 second. I just want to just with my eye... I wanted to skim if we skipped anything. So just before we see the Mishnah Berurah in Ches, I just want to add 1 point to what we discussed about a Bris Milah, whether or not we're going to allow the people who are invited to the Bris Milah to eat on the Asar B'Tevis. I'm sorry, on the Tainus Esther. Come in, Avi. And the answer was that we're going to base ourselves on the Taz and the El Rab. We're not going to allow them to eat. But what about the Balei HaBris themselves? So we're talking now about the Sanduk. We're talking about the Moel. We're talking about the Avia Ben. So he says, Mutarim lechol v'yom chamashi achar hamila v'yein tzorch l'sanos mochar. Those they come under the special category of those who are not obligated in the mitzvah of Tainus Esther. But again, he says that only applies when Tainus Esther is a Mukdam, and because Tainus Esther falls on Shabbos, we have to fast on Thursday before that Shabbos. And in that case, we accept that those individuals could eat after the Mila, and for them it's a Yontif. And that's Docha, the fast of Esther, in this case of Thursday. Now, what I'm not sure about is, why can't we go one step further?
Be Docha on a normal time, says.
And even be Docha the 13th of Adar. Yeah. But he says over here that the Balei HaBris are allowed to eat even according to the Elyo Rab and the Taz. And not only that, even beyond that, they are so excluded, like we saw the Shus Yaakov, in the cases of everybody but the Koy Ve'yayin, that they don't have to make up that time. There's no chiyuv piron, ain't tzrichim l'sanos l'mochar. And the Prima Gadol goes a step further, and he says, you want to be making like the Ramah, because the Ramah says that anybody who is invited to the bris is allowed to eat and be part of the Sudas Mila, the Sudas Bris Mila. Again, I'll have to make it up l'mochar on Yom HaShishi, but in any event, the Prima Gadol says, you want to be making and rely on the Ramah, that's okay. But now we get to the case of the tour in the name of the Rosh, that the fast of Esther was to commemorate the fasting of 3 days of fasting back in Nisan after she heard about the Gzeir of Haman. And the Mishnah Berurah has another take. It doesn't mean 3 consecutive days, which would be, let's say, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel of Adar, but rather it means Chamishi V'Sheni Li'achar Purim. In other words, we're not going to allow fasting for 3 days before Purim, but rather we're going to push off 3 days of fasting till after Purim, because before Purim we're in a state of Simcha. That's not appropriate for fasting. And if you take a look in the Sharat Siyud number Yud Ches, he quotes the Beis Yosef on this point. I mean, that's the Baal Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
You know, you wonder why the Shulchan Aruch himself didn't clarify this. He says Shlosh Yomim Zechel and Tainus Esther. He doesn't point that it's after Tainus Esther, after Purim, and that it's going to be on Sheni, Chavishi, and Sheni. In other words, normally there are people who, I don't know of any such people, who would fast on Sheni, Chavishi, and Sheni the whole year round, but certainly in the case of Motzei Purim, for the sake of this tour, in the name of the Rosh, they would fast on Sheni, Chavishi, and Sheni after Purim. And why is that? Because before Purim, we're in a state of Simcha. So it's interesting, you can take the month of Adar as far as Simcha, and you can divide it up into two. There's up to Purim from the beginning of the month, and then there's post-Purim. Post-Purim, we're not so besimcha, and the nafkamina is going to be, we're going to allow people to fast 3 days post-Purim. What happened to the Simcha? Mishanichnas Adar Ma'arim B'Simcha? Yeah, Mishanichnas Adar Ma'arim B'Simcha up to, but not beyond Purim itself. Ubishieshlo dinim akum yishpot ba'adar. If you can sue for a case in the courts against the guy during Adar, that would be the best time, because we have a special mazel during the month of Adar against the guy to protect us against the guy. Okay, I think that's what. Let me just see if we want to finish up anything here in the Mishnah Bura, and then we'll call it a day. He says, "Yicholim bnei ha'ir l'sakein ba'askama b'cherem aleim v'alboy machreim lasos purim b'yom shenasu bones." Wow! Again, this is a case where a community experiences a miracle sometime during the year,
right.
And the bnei, the representatives of the city, you have to know exactly who they are. Maybe it's called Shiva Tu Be'ir. They made a decision that we, in this city, on an annual basis, have to make that day in which we experience the miracle into Purim.
In addition to the Yudal Adar.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're not. So, in fact, I think in the Achronim there was a great miracle during the days of Pesach, and they determined that the seventh day of Pesach was a Yontif. Now, the seventh day of Pesach is Yontif anyway, but we don't say Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach. They have to say Hallel under this law. Now, again, Purim itself doesn't get Hallel because we have the Kriyas HaMegillah. But if there's a Haskamas B'nei Ha'ir on a certain city to commemorate that day as a quasi-Purim, we're not going to read Megillas Esther. It's a Yom Shenasa Bones. And the Nafkamina would be on that day, on that day, we have an Iser Hespid V'Titus.
He doesn't mean you read the Megillah on that day.
No, for sure not. It's this during the course of the year. It has many dinim of Purim, right? And therefore it would be a din of Marbim B'Simcha. We would not allow fasting. It might even be a good time to have a din with a guy if you're part of that city. But it's not... it's not a din of Kriyas HaMegillah, and it has a din of Mishnah and Simcha. Mishenasa lo nes ba'adar v'nodar lasos purim kishiyovush nasa ibur tzorch lasos purim b'adar sheni. A person takes a vow that he will commemorate a special day in Adar as the day of Purim. Does that apply to Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? He said that on Adar, in the month of Adar, I will make a Purim. So the truth is, the same question could be asked about a fast day. Let's say he took upon himself to fast on one day during Adar. Which day, which Adar would it be? Adar Aleph or Adar Beis? He's asking it in terms of Yom Shenasa Bones to make it into a quasi Purim with Mishnah and Simcha. Does that apply to Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? So he says it applies to Adar Sheni, that as a general rule, Adar Sheni slips into the shoes of Adar Rishon. And the real Adar now becomes Adar Sheni. We're going to see it in Legabi Megillah, and now we see it as far as this this did of a self-accepted Purim, that the self-accepted Purim in that community will be fulfilled during Adar Sheni. Now, if on the other hand the miracle took place on an Ibiyar, so we already have two Adars, then we'll commemorate that miracle whenever the miracle took place, whether it was on Adar Aleph or Adar Beis. So let's make a note that we're up to Tuf Resh Pei Zayin, and then we begin the real Kishkis of Hilchus Purim.
Yeah, that's if somebody has a minhag to commemorate a Yotzat on Adar, which day should we do?
Oh, I remember, Harvey, this was enormously complicated. Assuming the person died on a regular year, so we don't know which month of Adar he died on, there was only one month of Adar, so there's a great plukta as to whether or not he should commemorate his yahrzeit on Adar Aleph or Adar Beis. The general view is Adar Sheni, because Adar Sheni becomes the real Adar. In other words, what they did was they wanted to make sure that Pesach would come out in Chodesh Aviv, and because of the discrepancy between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, they had to add an extra month. When they added that extra month, that became the Adar of that year. So Adar Rishon, we only give lip service, we call it Adar, but the real Adar is Adar Sheni. And this is no get to bar mitzvahs and to yard sites and pledges and all sorts of dinim, which Adar is the real Adar. So one school of thought, and I think it's a very logical one, says that Adar Sheni, the extra Adar, that's the real Adar. But you know, Harvey, in about a day from now, meaning tomorrow actually, we're going to begin at 11:45. We're going to begin at 11:45 learning the laws of Masechta Megillah and Purim Be'ird, in depth. Again, you won't be here until next Monday, but if you come next Monday at this time, we'll be a week into learning the laws of Megillah. But tomorrow, I'm not sure if either tomorrow or the day after, I want to discuss your question about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, the various opinions about which is the real Adar.